I think that somebody else asked this. What, could you ask questions during the course of the Common Council meeting? And no, you've never done it that way. I know. However, you bring up things during the course of this meeting that catch people totally off guard. And they're thinking, holy cow, what happened here? Yet they can never say a thing and question, why are you doing this? Where did this come from? Why don't we know anything about this? Because there is this moratorium on a taxpayer who's funding this to ever be able to say anything. As Jill pointed out, her subdivision pays more in taxes than the quarry, considerably more, and yet you listen to the quarry more than you listen to the taxpayers. And so I just think that maybe some of these rules should be put before the taxpayers, and the taxpayers should have some say in how cut and dry the three-minute rule is. Can taxpayers ask questions during the course of the Common Council meeting?
As many people here know, you can certainly contact your alderman and ask them all the questions you want, and they will get back. And your 3 minutes are long.
Well, you always have that kind of excuse. Or go listen to the tapes.
Please.
They want answers now. Now.
Thank you, Ms. Mills. It's good to see you in person, Mr. Johnson.
It is indeed. Grant Johnson, 7374 Cambridge Drive. All your emails, you should get back to me. You've got many of them, and you talk about getting back to people. You haven't gotten back to me in weeks. So
you know what the
follow your own advice, buddy.
And you absolutely know the reason for
it. I got some questions for Mr. Zimmerman here. You're passionate about this project, are you not? You believe in this project, do you not?
Mr. Johnson, you've never been here before.
Oh, yes, I have been. I haven't talked before.
You're supposed to address the council.
Okay, this is what I'm asking for. This is a publicly funded project. I want the 13 different job change order sites that deal with underground development put into the open records. And I want them this week. You have a software program your construction guy is using called Timberline by Sage. It should take you 5 minutes to get it. Okay? I also want updated DNR studies. 13 different job changes. 13, count them. Where are the DNR studies? This project has changed. It's a boondoggle. I want it done, and I want Mr. Zimmerman to pay for the rest of it. That's all I got to say, guys.
Great, thank you.
And email me back.
You know exactly why I'm not emailing.
Because you're afraid.
Anyone else? Mrs. Short, good evening.
Good evening, everybody.
Well,
I just want to advise that there's some good businesses that are good neighbors out there. We Energies, for instance, which is a big company, they are building a massive wind screen to address a coal dust issue plaguing the residents living near their Oak Creek power plant. The city's plant commission unanimously approved plans Tuesday, February 12th for a vertical wind screen in excess of 4.5 acres. In March 2018, wind gusts brought coal dust to a number of neighboring homes. Since that time, residents have complained about the issue, and We Energies has enacted some measures to combat the coal.
Thank you, Dana.
Thank you. You're doing a great job. The wind screen is tested to withstand wind gusts of 95 miles per hour. We Energies, even though the barrier will not surround the entire pile, it has been engineered to protect the nearby neighborhood. I really hope the engineers are right on this one. Mayor Dan Lukowicz said. He said the neighborhood needs relief because it's been through a lot. Assistant Fire Chief Mike Krizik said the fire department has a significant concern with the coal dust issue. One resident, Greg Mallard, said he got coal dust last year and was so frustrated, saying it shouldn't have been put there in the first place. Then I got another update from Am I talking loud enough?
If you could get closer, that'd be better.
Update complaint on NPS Corporation in Cudahy on Layton Avenue. They replaced some old equipment above minimal level of noises. People complained, so noisy to the city. Brian Burnett, Director of Economic Development, handled the complaint, found the noise a nuisance. They shut down the machinery until they met all of the citizens' requirements. They had to apply for proper permits to be retroactive and shut down machinery until it was taken care of. So there are good neighbors and businesses, and I just wanted to let you guys know that. And I guess I won't bring this much up, but about the one that said in front of me, the quarry knows they're out of their boundary, south of Rawson on 51st Street, yet nothing has been done about it. I've heard, what if they are 2 to 3 feet? I don't care. No, it's not okay. We have to apply to the rules for all the people, and I thank you.
Thank you, Mrs. Short. Anyone else? Mr. Seeger, good evening.
Orville Seamer, 3020 West Acre Avenue. Since the ballpark comments is a hot topic, and there's going to be votes coming up in the very near future, it's not tonight, but it's on the agenda, I thought it was fair to look at some of the contributions from the developer. And lo and behold, Alderman Taylor has received from Mr. Zimmerman, his wife, or his employees, associates, $4,200 in campaign contributions in the last 4.5 or 5 years. That is a very substantial amount for one alderman in a suburban community. Based on that, I think it's fair to ask Alderman Taylor to recuse himself from any future votes based on his contributions from Mr. Zimmerman. So that's number one. Number two, Alderman Taylor, again. I recall there was an election about a year ago and you lost the county supervisor seat. And so on your personal webpage, you're still claiming that you're a county supervisor. I'm just saying, he's on his webpage, he claims he's still a county supervisor. He lost that election almost a year ago. I think that he's misleading people. And the third thing I got is for Mayor Olson. Maybe you could explain to us your secret email.
I have no secret.
Well, which one are you? I consider it to be secret. When I made an open records request for all in bold capital letters, all city employee email addresses, your Olson mail at franklinwi.gov was not on that list, even though you use it on a regular basis. That makes me very, very suspicious. And everybody in this room should be very suspicious.
Okay.
Well, I'm looking for an explanation.
It's a part of the city web server. I don't have anything to do with it other than that's the receiving box so that my emails can be part of the public record and guys like you can file open records requests.
Okay. If I didn't know about it, how could I make an open request for that email?
Well, because you don't have to make a request for that email box. You have to make the requests that you know how to do, and you've done a lot of them. You ask for the information, and you get it.
It's been very slow coming, and there'll be a lot more coming.
Or that's why.
Okay, that's you're a very good answer.
Or you're welcome to the information, but don't expect it tomorrow. As you know, we've got lots of things going on.
Five months is pretty quick, I guess. Five months.
Anyone else? Yes, sir. Good evening.
I'll make this quick. Tim Salt, 8057 South 56th Street.
Give us your name again, please.
Tim Salt, 8057 South 56th Street.
Thank you.
I felt compelled to come make a comment tonight. I normally work during the day. I was at home with my new daughter, and I felt the blast at the quarry, and it seemed extremely excessive to me. So I just wanted to make that comment.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Anyone else? Okay. See you. No one else? I did promise you.
Yes,
thank you. Just give us your name and address.
Okay. Dana Gant, 9011 West Hawthorne Lane. I just want to finish. I just have one page. As I was saying, on June 19, 2018 meeting, I asked during public comment if I could read two letters that people requested I read into the minutes. The mayor stated that he has them and will place them in the file. They are not on the file. They are not in the file online, as opposed to other citizen comments are on different comments also meetings. I contacted Sandy, and she actually sent me two different letters from a different citizen, from different citizens that I was not aware that were asked to be placed on the city file either. They were asked to be placed in writing in their messages. These letters were not included on the online exhibits either until late this afternoon. I found other meetings that had citizen letters included on the city online access. And I will be reading this letter from the Milwaukee County Rivers Advocates into the record now, since the city is not following the proper protocol. And I'm requesting that this speech be included on the online summary, and we'll be mailing this to this city with you all, with all the attachments. This is from Milwaukee River Advocates, June 19, 2018, 11:48 a.m. Dear Franklin Council members, we've been following the development of the Ballpark Commons. We would like to weigh in from an environmental perspective. As we watch the trending news about rivers, we're all learning about how vulnerable our wild spaces are and about how loss of habitat, not hunting, is the number one cause of extinction. We're losing more wildlife habitat in cities and suburbs, and thus we're losing wildlife. Less sexy and more critical is the devastating loss of insects. We're seeing up to 82% loss, according to one study, including bees, butterflies, moths, and others, which will create a topple-up effect on the birds, amphibians, and others who eat them, and in turn the larger animals that eat them, and so on and so on. The oasis of wildlife and habitat in cities and suburbs are refugees for wildlife being displaced by development, causing a crisis for wildlife, native plants, and insects everywhere. Our concern with Ballpark Commons is that it will have these major negative effects. To have such a large, populated, noisy, bright activity happening in an area that is adjacent to wildlife habitat is extremely detrimental. We are particularly concerned about the lighting and noise, both becoming more recognized for what they are in excess of, pollution. In addition, excess lighting and noise disrupt the breeding, behavior, and hormones of wildlife. And also, landscaping invariably affects wetland habitat and the wildlife that lives there. We would ask you to put the Ballpark Commons on hold until further study can be done to specifically address these issues. Effects of lights running in excess of daylight hours, especially in winter and spring. The effect of the additional and extensive noise on wildlife. We understand that a study on the both sound and light study are a condition of the PDD, which you guys have deleted at this point. Effect of landscaping on wetlands and approximate and appropriate landscaping for its proximity to the river, floodplain, and wetlands. The effect of runoff to the river and the effect of it on fish, amphibians, reptiles who live there, and birds and mammals who drink from it. Also, we're concerned from a health standpoint that operations might begin prior to permanent bathrooms and drinking fountains or adequate parking being installed. Please consider these points when weighing this decision. It's better to measure twice and cut once than to measure once and be wrong. Sincerely, David Press, President of Milwaukee River Advocates. So I would like these documents to be on the file for this evening also, and I'll be turning in my speech also to have it recorded.
So, just so we all understand, on the record means in the record in City Hall, online means it's published online, which we will do. So, thank you. Anyone else wishing to speak?
I'll be very brief.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. So, we need your name and address.
W. Ulrich, 7388 Trinity Court. So I'm even going to cut it even shorter, although my dad always cared about his constituents. I myself am having a difficult time how such small concern is given to the neighbors in this area, many of whom have resided there most of their lives. Penalizing Ballpark Commons for exceeding the noise allotment with a mere $10,000 per year limit seems to me like giving them free rein to do as they please. I understand the council indicated that most citizens at an open forum a while ago were for the project. The scope of the original design has been reduced and modified from its original presentation, and I doubt that taxpayers would really be for it if they knew the current situation. And then I do have an article from the Business Journal indicating the top money given with jobs that are supposedly going to be part of the money that they're giving to the companies. And that must have changed also, the amount. I'm seeing that their Ballpark Commons is asking people to house these ball players and they're looking for interns to work at no fee. So already that should be like a red flag. And in closing, I would like you, the council, to look deep in your hearts. 1,000 trees have been cut down. The noise and the lights will certainly bring the quality of life down for the residents and wildlife in the area. Is this project still going to bring value to the city? The developer is already asking for more funding. What burden will this put on the city and the taxpayers if it fails? Please think about the current facts in front of you and maybe rethink them. It would be better to reconsider. It is not what was proposed. Thank you.
Thank you. Stick around. Anybody else?
Oh, did anybody want to hear the jobs real quick? Just one? One? Okay, I have one here. Thank you, sir. $59 million was the state's investment, and it's going to bring in 1,140 jobs. The next one is $7 million. And the investment from the company was $88 million, and it's going to bring in 125 jobs. And then there's an $18 million by the state that's going to bring in 669 jobs. And there's a $90,000 investment that will bring in 129 jobs. And I do have copies if anyone wants a copy of this. It's interesting to see how many jobs Ballpark Commons will be bringing in. So, thank you for your time,
okay.
And respectfully. Thank you. I appreciate it.
Anybody else? Okay, seeing no one else present, we'll close the citizen comment period. We move on to item B2, which is a mayoral announcement. In your packet, and the people in the audience need to know that the Milwaukee County Office of Emergency Management is instituting a new program for emergency management by geography. And they are it's text message-based, and they are going to do their initial testing on the same time and dates that the Tornado Awareness Week is, which happens to be April 11th at 1:45 and April and November 6th at 12 noon. We want to see approval of the regular Common Council meeting of March 5th. Any additions or corrections?
So moved.
Second.
Discussion? All those in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carried. We have no hearings. Item E is organizational business appointment of Steve Rakowski to the Board of Zoning and Building Appeals. Alderman mm-hmm. Mayor.
Second.
Madam Clerk.
And I would like to clarify it is not aldermanic District 5. My microphone doesn't work at all.
The clerk makes note that it's aldermanic District 2, not aldermanic District 5. Did you have a microphone?
Alderman D'Andrea?
Aye.
Alderman Mayer?
Aye.
Alderwoman Wilhelm?
Aye.
Alderman Taylor?
Aye.
Alderman Barber?
Aye.
Alderman Nelson?
Aye.
Motion carries 6 ayes, no noes, no absent, no abstentions. We move on to reports and recommendations. Item G1, it's a project update. Ms. Bird, and this will be a routine item on the agendas going forward. Ms. Bird.
Thank you and good evening. Can you hear me?
A little bit louder.
Okay. Thank you and good evening. Is that better? Okay. As you know, staff, who are all present here this evening, have been working diligently, putting in many long hours, working with the development team at Ballpark Commons to try to address a lot of the questions that have bubbled to the surface recently. There's been a lot of interest in the activity that's taking place, and we've been working to try to get the answers together so that the public could understand what the project is about, as well as to make sure that the elected officials understand what's happening and where we're at. So this evening, we have some representatives here from Rock Ventures and from the Mandel Group. We have Mike Zimmerman from Rock Ventures, and he will be joined by Ian Martin and Emily. Please help me with your last name. Cialdini, who will be using the visual aids that are around the room as well as on the screens to give you an update on where Ballpark Commons is at in terms of what's happening there and what will be happening in the near future. And as Mayor Olson indicated, This is only the first meeting, so please be patient. We will continue to hear the questions and concerns, and we'll continue to work with the development team to ensure that we can provide you with the best and most recent information so that down the road you can make the best decisions that you are able to make. So with all that said, I would like to introduce the development team et al.
How's this? Can everybody in the back hear me? Okay. So first off, Mayor Alderman, thank you for allowing us to present after listening to the citizen comments. Obviously, this is a timely presentation. I know also we've met with some of the aldermen one-on-one to give you an update. And I've also been attending more frequently these meetings, and it's pretty clear that, you know, we've been not doing a great job of updating the progress. So really today's meeting is to do just that. So I thought I'd start big picture, and then we'll just walk through the master plan, because I think there's still a lot of misconception around what we're building. And then I took notes on, you know, questions that were asked. I'm going to try to answer some of those, at least from our point of view. So I'll start with just historical context, because I think it's really important. So everybody, the comments that I heard were people referring to the developer agreement and when the TID was structured and being behind schedule, and all of that's true. But with that, you know, there's a narrative to it. So as a reminder, the TID was created in 2016, and at that point, it was a plan that essentially called for about $100 million worth of tax increment to the city. What we also put forth was roughly 39-40 conditions that we had to step through. It was multiple meetings and, you know, all sorts of planning to get through the 40-plus conditions. But I would say probably the biggest thing that slowed the process down was the acquisition of Milwaukee County Parks land. We thought that would be done a lot quicker. Unfortunately, you know, it was not. It took us almost 18 months to get through that sales cycle. And we finally closed on that last year. And only really were in a position to do a groundbreaking, you know, last June. So when we talk about, you know, where we're at, I think it's important to remember that the clock started, unfortunately for us, just, you know, about nine months ago. So with that as historical context, I'll just talk big picture about kind of current state. So the current state is we are, people are right, the plan has changed. So there's comments out there that said we had 26 buildings and, you know, the scope, one woman said the scope has been reduced. I don't share that sentiment for us. I mean, this is purely kind of economics. So this is no longer a $100 million project. It's a $160 to $180 million project. And those numbers are not just my numbers. Those numbers are also backed up by the city assessor when they look through all of the planning. So, and yes, there has been a request for additional funding. Right, the current ask was for $27 million for infrastructure against the $100 million, which represented about a 25% ratio. So the current proposal, it's a modest uptick. It's about a 28% ratio now. So all things considered, it's about the same in terms of percentage of participation. But what I would also say about the $5 million is that the bulk of the ask is PAYGO, right? So when we talk about that percentage, a lot of it is only gets, and I'm not talking about the $5 million, but the additional Mandel piece that they'll talk about, it only happens if the development is created. So,
one second.
Yeah, go ahead.
So Mike mentioned the term, I just want to make sure everybody's clear. He mentioned the term PAYGO. That's our shorthand for a procedure whereby the developer pays for everything and then is reimbursed if the tax value, the assessed value, is there. So there is no investment from the city until the income is coming in through the assessed value. So when you hear PAYGO, that's what that means. It's pay as you go. Put up the value, then you get the money. Thank you, Mike.
Yes. So then just to talk about the additional $5 million. So the $5 million, I don't believe the Journal Sentinel did a great job of, you know, sort of classifying it as unforeseen circumstances. I'll just talk about why, you know, the $5 million ask is out there. First and foremost, the basic agreement, Spirit, I'll call it Spirit, was that the city would pay for infrastructure.